Good evening, everybody. Monday night, Shaar Etzion, 9 p.m. We're back at it again. Welcome. The history of the world, when viewed from the standpoint of Yehudi, is a history of conflict between the people of the Torah, the Yehudim, and all the enemies of Torah. The story is outlined in the pregnancy of Rivka Imenu. Ele Toledot Yitzchak tells us that Yitzchak was 40 Shana, 40 years old, when he took Rivka, the daughter of Betuel, the Aramite, from Padan Aram, the sister of Lavan Harasha, the Arami, the wily one, the tricky one, as a wife. And they had a lot of problems. It was almost tonight's class, how he prayed. He prays, she in one corner, he in another, because she's barren, she's unable to have children. Hashem accepts the prayers of Yitzchak, Sadiq ben Sadiq, Atah Rivka Ishto. And his wife Rivka becomes, as they say in biblical terms, with child. And so she was with child. I like that. The children are very active. Ratz means to run. Within her womb. She makes a strange statement, hard to understand. But Tomer Imken, if so, if that's what the pregnancy is all about. If the Sa'ad Ha'ibur, says Rashi, the pregnancy pains and trouble is so bad, Lama Ze Anochi, why is it that I prayed so hard to become this way? Vatelech Lidrosh Et Hashem. So she goes to the Bet Midrash of Shem, the son of Noach. Shem means the Semite, that's us, we come from him. Lidrosh Et Hashem. Sheyagidla matehe besofa, to tell her what's going to be in the end. There's a complicated story here. I don't know what's going on. Help me. Explain. Vayomer Hashem lah. So through the messenger, Shem, son of Noach, he's enveloped by Ruach HaKodesh, the Heavenly Spirit, and he tells her, Shene goyim bibitnech. Two great peoples are in your womb. And the shne le'umim, these two malchuyot, these two sovereignties, mime'ayich yiparedu, they will separate. Zel rish'o, says Rashi, one to his wickedness, the zel le'tumo, and the other to his perfection. Om el om ye'ematz, they will not be equally great. Keshezeh kam, zeh nofel. When one rises, the other falls. It's like a balance scale. She has the twins, one Sadiq and one Rasha. One comes out very red, Siman Shehu Yeh Shofech Damim, he's going to be a spiller of blood. Kulo Ka'aderet Se'ar, he's like a fur coat. Vayikru Shemo Esav, everybody calls him Esav because he looks asui. He's so big and mature and complete at birth, and so hairy that they call him Esav, done. I guess he was well done. V'acharechen yatza achiv, his brother comes out second, meaning he seems to be the younger. By birth he's the younger, and he's holding on to the heel, the akev of the firstborn. So they call him Yaakov. They grow up. They grow up. Esav becomes an outside, out in the fields, nightclubs and parties and all things that lead to trouble. The Yaakov Ishtam is in the Kailel. He's sitting down and studying. Yoshev Ohalim. The surprising statement is, Vayehav Yitzchak et Esav. His favorite is Esav, the city person, the wild one. Kitzayid Befiv, a lot of explanations what that means. Either he brings him food, or he cons him with his tricky mouth. Lirivka ohevet et Yaakov. Rivka prefers and loves Yaakov. There's a sale here of the firstborn rights. The earthly Baal Ta'ava Esav, the one who follows his desires, comes home hungry and tired and sells his rights to firstborn in the nation of Yitzhak to his younger brother for a bowl of soup, red lentil soup, very delicious as a matter of fact on a cold night like tonight. But it was actually the morning soup. It was a food of mourning, M-O-U-R-N, for the death of Abraham Avinu. He says, I'm going to die anyhow, he says. Lamazeli bechora, what are you the bechora for? Okay, you got it. And they split up. Actually, Midrash tells us from the womb, they split up rights to this world and the next. The people of Esav will own this world, and the people of Yaakov will own the next. Fast forward. Yitzchak is now an old man. Vayiki zaken Yitzchak. His eyesight is very weak. Maybe today we would call him legally blind. Vayikrailis et Esav ben Agadol. He calls in his eldest. He says, Hine zakanti, hine zakanti, I've become old. I don't know which is the day, but I'm close. Take out your hunting tools, go out to the field, and bring me back something delicious to eat. Cook it in a special way I like. I want to bless you. I want to give you special blessings. Rivka overhears, great stories. Great story. She overhears. I don't know if she hears, but Ruach HaKodesh, she hears. B'dabei Esav Esav Beno, and Esav now leaves. She brings in Yaakov, the man of truth, and she forces him, the command of a mother to an obedient son, to go in wearing the special hairy clothing of Esav, to take in food that she specially prepared. Ata beni shema bekoli. And now, my son, listen to me, my command. Bring me some goats. I'll make a delicious food. You'll take it to your father so that he'll bless you instead. And the plan works. The trembling Yaakov goes in. Yitzchak is suspicious. But he passes the litmus test of the feeling and the speaking, and his father blesses him. And as if through a revolving door, as he leaves, in comes Esav,
Mazde behadu so beni. Says Hashem gave me what I need. He gave him all those things. Kissed him. He blessed him. Now he comes in after the blessings. Fantastic pasuk. Vayikra shekila Yitzchak v'eged Yaakov. At the moment when Yitzchak finished blessing Yaakov, you can picture it. Vayhi ach yatzo yatzah Yaakov me'et p'nei Yitzchak. Immediately at the same moment that he left, be'esav achiv ba'am. I always think of Haman walking in when Mordechai, when they say, you owe a blessing to Mordechai, you owe a special gift, and in walks Haman. It's like, just fantastic. So, Vayaz kamu matamim, Vayavel aviv, Yom aviv, Yakum aviv, Yocham, he said, get up and eat, I want my blessing. Miata, who are you? He says, Ani bin Chabechorcha Esav, I'm your eldest firstborn Esav. He trembled, an amazing tremble. Me efohu atzad Sayyid, who was the one who brought me his prey that he captured? He brought it to me and I ate it, and I blessed him. And then he says, Gam baruch yeh. Even though it's the person I didn't intend to bless, I now stamp and reconfirm he's blessed. Kishmo Esav ve'aviv. Now Esav, oh my goodness, what happened? Daddy, bless me too. He says, your brother came b'mirma with wisdom. He took your blessing. He says, now I know why they call him Yaakov. He tricked me twice. He conned me twice. Et bechorati lakach, he took my firstborn status. And he took my beracha. Bechor and berach. Same letters, by the way. But, Daddy, you must have another beracha for me. You must have saved something for me. Vaya Yitzchak v'yomer Esav, hen givi samtiv lach, I have made him the master over you, that kol echad nasati ol avadim, all his brothers I have made his slaves, v'dagam mitirosh shemachtiv, I gave him the bounty of this world. Ulchai for ma'aseh b'ni, what's left? Vayomer Esav, Esav answers, Ha-beracha ahat hilecha avi? You only have one? Give me a beracha, vayisa Esav kolo vayev, he cries. So then Yitzchak blesses him too. And he tells him, you'll have mishmane ha'aretz, from the bounty of the earth, and you'll have Charbecha techyeh, you'll live by the sword, and you'll serve your brother. But, Vayeh kasher tarid, but if he should stumble, and his level should drop, ufarakto lo me'asavarecha, you'll be able to break the bounds of slavery to him, and you'll rise up. Vayistom Esav et Yaakov al berachah shebrachu aviv. He hated his brother because he took the beracha. And he says, one day, when my father passes away, I'm going to kill him. About 500 questions here in that little simple story. I won't burden you with all of them because you've heard them before. Let's just look at the point of the blessings. Yitzchak trembles at the reality of living under a misconception for years. I think they were 15 when the birthright was sold. There's a 13 to 15 year period when Esav was bad, from the age of Bar Mitzvah till 15. And Yaakov was in his 80s when he got married, and he went away for 14 years before he got married, and he worked for 7 years before he got married. So he got 21 years. They go back, he's in his 60s at this time. I don't want to give you exact dates. But he's a 65-year-old man. And for those 50 years, approximately, Esav has been a pretty bad guy. On the day of the Beracha, of the Bechora, of the selling of the firstborn, he did 5 major sins. Major. Big stuff. Rashi brings them. But in the end, when Yitzchak finally blesses Yaakov, supposedly in error, believing he's Esav, and then he realizes when Esav comes, it wasn't Esav, and he asks, who is the person? But then he finishes off with, Gam Baruch Yehiyeh. Rather than say, it's null and void, it's a mistake. He says, he gets it. That's surprising. Rashi says, Shelo tomar ilule shirima yakol avin lo atat berachot. Don't ever say, were it not for the trickery of Yaakov, he wouldn't have been blessed, his father wouldn't have blessed him. Dekach eskim uberecho midato. He said, I confirm now that I know who it was, I want to say he gets them. So that's your first surprise. He never intended that. Not only that, you would probably ask yourself, why did he want to give it to Esav to begin with? Was he that unaware of his behavior? Didn't he know he's a rasha? Didn't he know Yaakov was a tzaddik? They're his children. He wasn't happy with his wives. The wives serve Avodah Zarah. Pasuk on that. It's weird. There's something going on in that tent. But let's say, to try and make it easier to understand, that maybe the wives are bad, but Yitzchak felt maybe Esav is better. Or maybe we could say, maybe he knew he wasn't so great. Everybody has children, and some are a little better behaved than others, and maybe he wasn't so great, but maybe he felt, listen, I'm talking about the Jewish people. He's my firstborn, and perhaps he's not so great. He's not one of the 36 tzaddikim on what the world stands, but maybe his children will be good. Who knows? Think what it is Yitzchak Avinu Alav Hashem felt that Hashem wanted him to bless Esav. And even though Yaakov is the Tzaddik and Esav is the Rasha, Yaakov is the righteous one and Esav is the wicked one, he's the one Hashem wants me to bless, and his children will turn out to be the Jewish people. You see, he was the firstborn. That's a big deal, Bechor. And not only that, he had the zechut of being the supreme performer of the mitzvah of kibud avayim. So he's doing one mitzvah perfectly. and he's the firstborn, that would outweigh the fact that Yaakov is a tzaddik who sits and learns Torah. And he says it, and he affirms it, and he wants to do it, simply because he waited and waited and waited, and Hashem never told him otherwise. How come Hashem is not coming and revealing to me who I should bless? Listen, do you know where he learned the value of firstborn? From Ishmael and Abraham, his father. He said Ishmael was no sweetheart, but Abraham still, it seems, might have passed the blessings of Abraham to him, because when it came right down to it, even when Sarah pointed out his wickedness, and even when Sarah wanted him thrown out of the house, even so, until Hashem intervened and said, Shema b'kola, listen to her, he still favored giving the blessings to Ishmael because he's the firstborn. So Yitzhak may be just following in the ways of his father Abraham. And that's probably what Yitzhak was following. There's only one mahalach. There's many ways to answer the questions. And if you mix them up too much in one year, when you study this parasha, you'll get very confused. You have to follow one line of reasoning. So we're going to follow tonight that Yitzchak really wanted to bless Esav, knowing he was firstborn, knowing that his father, Abraham, would have blessed the firstborn were it not for the intervention of Hashem and said, Ki Yitzchak yikarei lechazara, no, throw him out. Listen to Sarah. And since I, Yitzchak, have not heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I got to go with the system. There's nobody telling me to break the system. I'm waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to intervene, and he hasn't. Therefore, Yitzchak calls Esav and tells him to go get the meat, make a nice dish, and I'm going to bless you. When, however, Esav revealed to him that he was not the one who received the blessings initially, and that Yaakov was the one who beat him into the room, and when he smelled Gan Eden, when Yaakov Avinu entered the room, and when Esav entered the room, he had visions of GH, the place downstairs is very hot and very cold. People in Tape Land know who I mean. Then he understood, without a direct communication with Hashem, that the desire and the will of Hashem was that the berachot would go to Yaakov, and he says, Gam Baruch Yeh. So what's Vayechedad Yitzchak Charada Gedola? What's the great trembling? He wondered why this came through a trick of Rivka, his wife. So he's a little concerned about that. I blessed the younger one instead of the older one. Hashem never really told me. It came through an apparent trick. And when he heard from Esav, my brother bought the Bechora, he said, Gam Baruch Yeh. I thought he had the Bechora and Kiburav, but he sold the Bechora. So now Yaakov has the Bechorah and Talmud Torah, Gam Baruch Yeh. he's the firstborn, if he has the rights to the firstborn, purchased or not, it's okay now. So that's the intro. Like I said, we did this a few times. This is the intro. Now the class. It's pretty early for the class, but the class is pretty long tonight, so I had to start it earlier. You don't mind, do you? Welcome, Helen. So mommy today. We mentioned that in the middle of the Berachot of Esav, it says, "Ayar kasher tarid ufarakto ulo me'al savarecha." Let's see Rashi on that. I like Rashi. She makes things easy. "Ayar kasher tarid lashon tsa'ar kilomar kishiyavru Yisrael ha-Torah," when the Jews violate the laws of the Torah, "v'yelecha pitchon peh," and there will be for you an opening, "lehitzta'er al berachot shenatal," to feel sorrow of the berachot that this not so special nation, because when they don't behave well, they're not so special. You're going to have an opener. It's like a first card you can play, because now they're not behaving well. "Ufarakta ulo," you'll break the yoke that he has upon you. In other words, he goes down, you go up. When he's up, you can never overcome him. So basically, the question of the real class is, what do we learn from this whole story? Lo ha-midrash ha-ikar el-maaseh. Bottom line. What does it all mean? Why did the berachot have to come in a crooked way? Couldn't Rivka walked into Yitzhak like Sarah walked into Abraham and said, "Listen, this is what Hashem wants. What are you fooling around? Esav, Bechora, Tatan, Kibud Av, Mitzvah. You're making all these pilpulim. You're making all these calculations. Hashem wants Yaakov. I know it's Ruach HaKodesh." Good story. Still works. Why the tricking? Okay. Hashem appears to Abraham and says, "I'm blessing you, and your children will be blessed, and I want you to pass on the blessing." Hashem talks to Abraham a lot. How come Hashem doesn't appear to Yitzchak and say, "Listen, it's near the end of your life, it's time to pass the baton in the marathon of life to Yaakov"? Why not? Korban Temima, he was on the Mizbeach, Akedat Yitzchak, he never left Eretz Yisrael, he was a big tzaddik. He was givura, internal, never spoiled. Tell him. Why does Hashem just tell him? Are you awake? Have any of you ever thought of these questions?
Yes.
Okay, good, I'm glad. She goes to Starbucks before she comes here. Money is awake anyhow. Hashem tells Abraham, "Ki Yitzhak v'ki Azara," and Yitzhak is silent. In the Midrash Rabbah it says, "Shebisha'a she'etra'im Esav al hefseda berachot," at the time that Esav complained about the loss of the berachot, "bikesh Yitzhak mehashem yisparach she'yaskim al yado." Yitzchak requested an approval, lebarech et Esav, to bless Esav. Ve'amalo, Yitzchak said to Hashem, "Yuhan," in other words, "is it okay, does it find favor in your eyes that I bless him?" Amalo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yitzchak, "Rasha'hu," he's wicked. Amalo, so Yitzchak answers, "Baal lamad tzedek, didn't he learn righteousness from his mother and father? Lo kibed et horav? Didn't he respect his parents? And that's what we've been saying up to now. Even though he didn't have the rights to the firstborn anymore because he sold it, still he had this other zechut, this other merit of the perfection of a very difficult, if not the most difficult, mitzvah of kibud av, an im. And Yitzchak Avinu felt, I should somehow salvage for him a beracha because of that. And still Hashem says, no way, Jose. No, he's a rasha. Yaakov spends his time in the Ohel learning Torah. He gets it. Why this convoluted story just to get a blessing that Abraham gave to Yitzchak so easily, so clearly? If Yaakov had gotten the blessing easily, straight, without having to trick his father, there'd be no cause for Esav to complain about the berachot. He would have no rights at all, like Ishmael has no rights. Not from Abraham, anyhow. And there'd be no connection between Esav and Yaakov. Throughout time, they'd be separate. So what? Doesn't sound so bad, does it? Can you imagine? No Germans, no Romans, none of these guys bothering us. No Russians, no Germans, no Romans, all these Esav people. What's so bad about not having a relationship with them? You all seem to agree. Be good, wouldn't it? No Inquisition, no Holocaust, no pogroms. Fantastic. What do we need them for? Until recently, you can't even point to too much trouble with Ishmael because we had no relationship to Ishmael. But it seems like this Esav guy keeps popping up. Says Arab Shwadron Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Me'acha shekol ikar zechut Yaakov v'rachot balo mikoach yeto osek batura. Since all the merit that Yaakov had to deserve the berachot comes from his involvement in the study of Torah, this famous pasuk, Vayak Asher Tarid, that I've been reading you, when you go down, says Rashi, Kishiyavru Yisrael HaTorah, when the Jews violate the Torah, then you're going to come and break the yoke and make trouble. So it turns out that when Yitzchak Avinu got the berachot from Abraham, alav shalom, there was no conditions. You got it. But when Yaakov got the berachot in the zechut of the Torah, it was on condition that you keep the Torah. Because if you don't, deal is off. And you know who's my enforcer? Esav. Since your right to the beracha that you took through trick came to you through trick, really shouldn't be yours. But I affirmed the validity of your blessings because I knew you were a Ben Torah. And therefore, if you don't keep it, I'm going to allow Esav the power to bring you back to Torah. The threat of Esav helps us keep the Torah. Al charbecha techye. Actually, my pronunciation, but I was very bad on that. Charbecha is a chet. That's the other kind of chet, you know. Charbecha techye. Ve'et achicha ta'avod. Vayakha shir tari ufarakta ulo me'av tzavarecha. You, Esav, will live by the sword. And that sword will be subjugated to your younger brother Yaakov. But when he drops in his observance and keeping of the Torah, you will rise. Pesach's a long way off. Let me remind you what it says in the Haggadah. Va'eten la'Avraham et Yitzchak. Ba'aten Yitzchak et Yaakov ve'et Esav. Anything strange about that? You read it. I don't know how many years I read it. I'm not going to tell you. Some of you read it a few times less than me. But every year we read it. And I really never noticed. Ba'aten Avraham et Yitzchak. And I gave to Avraham Yitzchak. And I gave to Yitzchak Yaakov and Esav. Excuse me. How come it doesn't say, Va'etel Abraham et Yitzchak ve Yishmael? You didn't think of it, did you? This year you can ask them at the Seder. If you remember it 100 years from now when Pesach rolls around. How come it doesn't say, I gave Abraham, Yitzchak and Yishmael? Because we have no relationship to them anymore. The beracha went straight from Abraham to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak and Chazara, and he blesses them, and he gives them the blessing of Abraham. But when it came to Yitzchak passing on the baton, he marries them for eternity. This is history in the making. You're forever attached. One goes down, the other goes up. One goes up, the other goes down. It's all up to Yaakov. Hakol, kol Yaakov. Vayadayim, Yedei Esav. One is into Torah and one is into physical. One is into spiritual, one is into Gashmiut. And they're married to each other. If Yaakov is high-flying in the study of his Torah and the observance of his mitzvot, they're powerless. Shlomo is melech of the world, is the Beit HaMikdash, and from all over the world they're coming to bring gifts. Yehoshua can walk around the wall as high as the walls of Jericho and is powerful. They blow a shofar and the whole thing collapses. They have a sin, and they could fight a small town like the Ai, and day in, day out, they have trouble winning. Till Yahushua finds out there was a sin done, somebody violated the cherem, the exclusivity of the property to be left alone from Yericho, and somebody took something from there, and that's why they're losing. There's an avera. You can win to keep the Torah. But if you don't, Va'etein liYitzchak et Yaakov ve'et Yishmael. It's a great nitina. Nitina is matana, present. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Yitzchak by giving him Esav. Because by doing so, he guarantees that Yaakov will always return to the study of Torah. Because if he leaves it, bingo. There he is again, Esav, persecuting and making problems, killing and abducting and making noise, until Yaakov says, it's not him, it's me. Hakol kol Yaakov v'yadayim yedei Esav. Amar mi berachya, it's in the Midrash, b'shayash Yaakov makim b'kolo, whenever they become soft in their voice, meaning they're not learning strong, yedei Esav sholtot, the hand of Esav rule. Shashu mitzavsef b'kolo, but when he chirps with his voice, en yedei Esav sholtot, there's no power over him. It's hard to say, but it's a fact, that throughout history, including our times, which sometimes always stick in this class, that there are those, it's not a political statement, this is fact, this is Torah, there are those who feel that Jewish parents should stress in the education of their children an exposure to all things secular to become baki in it. They don't say that, but they mean expert in it. Degrees in all kinds of humanities, I think it's called in the college world. All those subjects, Greek mythology, geology, and I don't know, stuff. Art. Their history rather than your own. And in fact, they say there's no time to stick your head in a book. I like that expression. Stick their heads in a book. Or better yet, in the sand. Rather than become worldly and read the New York Slime every day. Find out what's going on. I enjoyed it. It's a very funny newspaper. It's funny because at one time they were good at it. Nobody realized their agenda. But now it's so blatant and so misguided. They dropped in quality to the point where you see through them. And so it becomes it's a parody of what the New York Times was. The English is excellent. The ideas are disgusting. We used to have to analyze the editorial page for English in college. I did go. I do know what they teach you there. Very well written. But sheker usually is. Otherwise you wouldn't believe it. So they think the way for us to get better, the way for us to get closer to the peoples that we live with, is to learn their ways, educate ourselves to converse with them on their level, and then we'll be part of society. Hi, society. Madame. Monsieur. Remember when French was supposed to be good? Now we have Freedom Prize. You see, it's the opposite. The more we assimilate, the more problems we have. Now, yes, I know, there's people out there in tape land, they're turning off their CDs in the cars now, they're leaving me in the battery tunnel on the ground to be run over. No, I know a doctor has to go to school to learn medicine. And I do know about a lawyer going to law school to learn law. And yes, he has a right to learn that and make a parnasah in it. They're necessary people. We need them. We respect them. We love them. I'm talking about the philosophy of Aristotle. Knowing which czar came before which czar. Was it Nicholas before Gregory or Gregory before Nicholas? That's very important for a Jew to know. I am so fortunate that after 7 years of post-high school education, I don't remember any of it. There's no room in my 512 gigabyte brain for that. Baruch Hashem. But I don't feel backward, closed-minded, narrow, or otherwise. Because if you look in the Torah, you know what's going on. And if you do need certain sciences and certain practical education, go get it. But the rest of the time should be spent in Torah, because that's our power. It is that young man with his head in the book. And for my Ashkenaz friends, that's a sefer, I know. Not supposed to use the word book. Book is secular. You ever have a wound that itches, like the scab? Your mommy tells you, don't scratch the scab, it'll come off, leave a mark, you'll have a scar, right? And you keep scratching because you think it feels good, and then it starts bleeding again. That's secular education, when it's taken to the umpteenth degree. When it replaces Torah learning. When the person says, I don't have to learn Torah, I have to know this, because I'm going to be the one, to be the bridge between Yaakov and Esau. There is no bridge, honey. The bridge over the River Kwai was blown up. That's for the old people. That was like a movie 60 years ago. Blown up. There's no bridge. It's a balance scale. We go up, they go down. We go down, they go up. Period. Torah. History. I can prove it to you 50 times over. Just watch history. Go study it. Jewish history. Not French history. And the reason I brought this up this evening, ladies and gentlemen, and I want you to know it's true, that this is history. And this is the basis of history in this particular parasha. One gets this world, one gets the next. One goes down, one goes down. It's all facts. It's prophecy of Hashem. Because it affects us. When things don't look like we want them to look in our environment, B'nai Torah become embarrassed to be B'nai Torah. Religious people become apologetic. They start to hide what they believe in. They start to feel uncomfortable in their observance. They don't feel right about their adherence to the principles of our avot. And we weaken our voice. Our voice of Torah. Doesn't mean people not learning. But we're not proud to be B'nai Torah. We don't feel like the soldiers that are winning the war. We don't feel like we're the ones that make a difference. And we are. There's so much garbage in the air that you can't smell the sweetness for the garbage. There's kefira, there's politics, there's history, there's Sean Hannity, I don't know what there is. There's all kinds of garbage in the air. Do I mean he's right? Do I mean I don't care. All I ask is 3 hours a day. 3 hours of my time for this garbage? You know what I can learn in 3 hours? I could change the Palestinian-Israeli situation if I sit down and learn for 3 hours. I can't do anything listening to the radio for 3 hours. Do you believe this, or do you think I'm nuts? I didn't ask you, I asked them. This is a very dangerous CD to put out. I admit it. There are forces in Judaism who will object to hearing this thing. But this is the fact. It's the fact of Torah. Hakol Kol Yaakov is the only weapon we have. Not a tank, not a bomb, not a dollar from America. Hakol Kol Yaakov is the only weapon we have against Yadayim Yedei Esav. That's politics, that's history, that's Torah, that's fact. And we, who devote ourselves to that, we, who are upholding it in the face of every type of negativism, of you know, the Jewish people have an inferiority complex. How do I know that? Now I know that. Because you don't dress, act, or talk like people you don't admire. You dress, talk, and act like the people you do admire. Are we dressing like B'nai Torah and Bat Yisrael? I invite you here on any night of the week that there's a wedding to answer that question. In fact, come to a Brit Milah in the morning. I can't believe it's morning. Morning outfits look like evening gowns in a nightclub, in a shul. Is that Jewish dressing or is that Goy dressing? Is that Sarah Imenu, Rachel Imenu, Leah Imenu, Rivka Imenu? Or is that Vogue, Mademoiselle, Cosmopolitan dressing? Or whatever the new magazines, I don't know what they are. L, all these funny names in foreign languages. Why do we do it? She's better than me, she's more fashionable, she knows like me. I have to look like her to be good. Who do we talk like? Where in the Torah does it say, what's up? I didn't see it. Did you see it, Simon? You didn't see it. I didn't see it either. I walk on the street. What's up? I see all the little Jewish children walking around. What's up? I thought I got off on the wrong stop on the subway. Why do we talk like that? We must admire that. Otherwise, we wouldn't imitate it. We dress like movie stars, baseball players, hockey players, football players. Or any yo-yo comes on and gets popular, we want to be like them. We cut our hair like them. We talk like them. We walk like them. If everybody buys a purple bracelet, we buy a purple bracelet. Everybody buys a blue bracelet, I'll buy a blue bracelet. That's everybody's wife. I like that. I admire it. You have an inferiority complex. Did you ever dress like one of the yo-yos sleeping on a bench? No, he's a bench person. I don't admire him. Did you ever stand on him and you with flags in your hand doing what that guy does? No, you don't admire him. All you in tape land, there's some Mejnun, he stands, a crazy guy stands on Avenue U in Brooklyn, he holds up flags and he stands in the middle of the street. People in tape land don't know what I'm talking about. But every town has their local nut. Does anybody imitate the nut job? No. But we imitate them because we admire them because we have an inferiority complex. We're not proud of being Yehudim. We're not proud of being B'nai Torah. And the danger today is the more educated we are, the more sophisticated we are, the more money we have, the more able we are to be like them. Exactly like them. And we do it so they won't look at me funny. If I have a kippah, if I have a beard, if I wear a tzitzit, if I carry koracha on the street, I don't want them looking at me. Why aren't you proud? That's my question. If you know you have the beracha of Hashem, if you know it's in the dechut of your Torah, if you know that's what it is, if you believe what this parasha tells us, we took Olam Haba, they were stupid, it was a bad deal, it's like the Indians taking $24 in beads for Manhattan. A peddler sells more than $24 on 33rd Street in 3.5 seconds. They sold all of Manhattan Island for $24. Louisiana Purchase was from New Orleans to Utah. $15 million. You can't get a corner house on East 4th for $15 million. There's a lot of bad deals. Why are we making a bad deal? We're selling our Torah, our mitzvot, our status. For garbage. We should understand who we are. We should understand what the berachot mean. We should understand what our goals are. We should understand how great we are. And we should focus on what's important to us. Hashem told us the secret. He wrote in the Torah, Be ish tam yoshev ohalim. Be perfect in your Torah study. Sit in the tent. Put your head in the book. How much time do you think Chacham Ezra Atiyah Alav HaShalom spent reading a newspaper? Anybody didn't respect his intelligence? Would anybody pay anything to ask him advice? How much time do you think the Chazon Ish, people went in for medical advice, political advice, all kinds of marriage advice, home advice, outside advice, business advice. What did the study Torah all the time? How did he do it? Hashem promised. You keep the Torah, you study the Torah, you're on top of the world. There's nothing to worry about. You break it. I have your brother sitting on the sidelines to beat you up. Rabbi Matisyahu Salem once said it very simply. Either you make Havdalah or I make Havdalah. Either we make Havdalah, realize who we are, separate our ways, our thoughts, our talk, our dress, especially our dress. I was in somebody's office today, he told me, the last frontier of this community is Siniut. We have people who didn't know anything before. They may not be 100% on Shabbat, but they know about Borei, and they know the strangest laws of Shabbat, because they're into Shabbat. Kashrut, we know. Tarat HaMishpacha, we train. Siniut, nobody gets it. Nobody gets it. Why not? A perfectly nice young lady. A beautiful married woman with good midot, kind and chesed, could stand half dressed talking to a rabbi and not feel anything's wrong. They come into a shul dressed like a nightclub. They don't feel anything's wrong. Because the brain was out there too much, away from our values, reading those things that make you broad-minded and worldly and less Jewish in observance. Hakol kol Yaakov, we have to come back to our Torah and not be concerned about what we don't know in the outside world. We have to be concerned we don't know about ourselves. We don't know about our Torah. We don't know about our values. We are the conscience of the world. We are the morals of the world. We are the standard by which the world should live by. And we have no right to drop our standards to meet those of the people around us. That's my spiel tonight. It all comes from the days of the pregnancy of Rivka and the Berachot of Yitzchak. We must go up to win. Internally. Without regard to what anybody else does. Doesn't matter what happens to the kelb in Paris, whether Arafat lives or dies. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what Sharon thinks. Doesn't matter that we did get Bush, Baruch Hashem, instead of the other, Tum'at Keri. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I mean, we're in there, we're doing our Hishtadlu, we go, we vote, we do everything we're supposed to do. We go to work, we're honest, we're doing everything. But know that the essential Jew is the Torah Jew. And one man sitting down and studying has more to do with world politics than half the leaders of the world. That's HaKol Kol Yaakov. That's our Beracha. In the Zechut of Torah, we got the Beracha. And if we keep the Torah, it will continue. Hashem will protect us. He'll bring the end to suffering. He'll make us go up higher and higher until everybody will say, I'd like to be more like them. And they'll be reading our magazines and copying our fashions and speaking nicely like us. Without nivul ha'peh, without sheker, softly, but powerfully. Because that's our strength. The call of Yaakov. Our Torah. Get into it and don't let go.